Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of The Podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The top upper left, zooming in from Austin. Good buddy, Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Boys, great pre-show talk. I'm eating some jerk chicken. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Down there in the bottom square, chilling out in the desert. Matt, Connor, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Feeling good. Just had a couple chicken pot pies, ready to rock.
Chicken pot pies.
Yeah, homemade, man. Delicious.
All right. Seems like a wild Tuesday night entree.
Yeah, it's leftovers from Sunday night. We'll talk about that and what's maddening.
All right. That makes a little more sense. Like, you guys just whipping out homemade pot pies? I respect it.
Yeah. I'm not the chef in the relationship, for the record.
Well, you're the wing king.
That's true. I got three specialties, and then she's in charge of the rest.
I would say awkward moment of the weekend for me. I was in, just mixed company. One person happens to listen to the podcast. The other one doesn't, and we were watching a little football. They were like, is dip season open yet? And like, I was like, you haven't listened to the latest few episodes, huh? They were like, what? I was like, I didn't make one today, but it's definitely wide open.
Full swing.
Oh yeah, we are in the season. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, all right, where do we want to start? I jotted down these notes because I think we got on the topic of Aaron Rodgers or something a little bit last week and media, right? Because he was like, oh, first thing I tell him, stop listening to you guys. And it's like, oh yep, good call, Aaron. Don't forget to do your weekly spot on the most popular sports podcast in the country. Actually, it's not even a podcast. It's on ESPN. You can't get mainstream media than that. And then a lot of people take all their cues from social media. I want to hear your boys' thoughts on it. Like, are podcasts not mainstream? Is social media not media? Like, what? I have my thoughts on it, but hey, I work for the giant evil mainstream media, so.
You work for the machine, bro. You wouldn't understand.
I'll be dead honest with you.
Go ahead.
I think it's a little bitch-ass excuse that people use all the time now. Well, the mainstream media wants you to know that. It's bias. Is it? Because most of the people that own them have different thoughts. And then, so what? You get your... Get your news from what? Newsmax? They don't even hide their bias. You think Joe Rogan's podcast isn't bias? I'm defensive, but.
Matt, what are your thoughts?
Well, so I think we've gotten to a point. I was talking to my girlfriend about this yesterday on our walk home from dinner. We're relatively unplugged for our age, I would say. And. I was saying fear is the new oil, like from all sides. I kind of detached from all of it a little bit. But then I realized the health industry, the fitness industry is all fear monger. And then that's what I get swept up into. I mean, I've talked about ordering all the food from the farm up the hill and stuff. And like, it's a good way to live because I like it because it makes me happy. But, yeah, I just think we're living in a very interesting brand of capitalism where everyone's like profiting off of scaring people, but it applies equally on all sides. I don't think it's a pretty bipartisan statement of like, you know, chill out and enjoy your life. I don't care which, you know, news source you would prefer, which party you're affiliated with, you know, and to me it's just like there's just a lot of noise, a lot of fear, and like I think there's a level of staying informed and then there's a level of detaching and protecting your peace that is really valuable these days.
I mean, I will start with, don't forget, our news channels run for ratings. They're for profit.
They're for profit entertainment, quote unquote entertainment. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people forget that the NFL and the NBA are also for profit entertainment entities when they talk about, you know, are games rigged or does the league want certain teams to do well? Are referees involved? Whatever. You know, at the end of the day, it's a business. What I would say as far as...
By the way, there is... That's just not a thing.
There's actually been a lot of evidence. In fact, referees have come out saying that they rigged NBA games. Wasn't there like a whole documentary on that? I'll see if I can NBA, find it.
Sure, but the NFL and the EPL, I will bet my life that you're not going to find anything rigging that.
Yeah. But so if they could do the NBA, what's the difference really? I don't know that they have in the NFL, but I'm just saying like at the end of the day, what's the difference between the two leagues?
Well, first of all, the NFL is the second most profitable league in the world. Their organization, their team of people, they have investigators, this and that. Like, it just would
ruin. That's just an order of magnitude.
Yeah. And the NBA just didn't have it. I mean, Matt can afford to go out, no kids, not married. He can go eat that stuff. He has access to it. So it's like, right, the NBA just didn't have access to better information or didn't listen to the information. So the NFL, a league that much bigger with magnitude, with that much more money, you can afford to pay people full time to make sure none of that happens.
I would say that, you know, I don't know either way, but the counter argument would be that there's more money at stake, you know, more money to be won by doing anything. All I'm really seeing here, I don't know that much about the NBA thing anyway. All I'm really seeing here, the first thing that came was kind of the NBA betting scandal, the Donahue, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that did happen. It used to happen in the EPL. But right now, like, there's just the NFL and the EPL are just monster machines. And frankly, it doesn't help them at all to cheat or to favor one team. Like, if you're not a Kansas City fan, like, I don't know. I don't know a lot of bandwagon Kansas City fans, right? Like, if people want to explain to me, the refs don't care.
Wait, you don't think it helps them?
How would it help the NFL to have one team that's dominant?
Well, I mean, from a business standpoint, not to have someone that's dominant, but from a business standpoint, it seems fairly obvious that you want the cities. Look at the MLB playoffs right now. The two largest cities in the country happen to also be the teams that are in the finals. You can sell a hell of a lot more merch in New York City than you can in Green Bay, Wisconsin, I'll tell you that.
You're proving my point. So why is Kansas City so good? Like, that is not a major. I mean, it's a major media market. It's not I mean, the Cowboys, who get talked about constantly, endlessly, would be winning Super Bowls or at least a playoff game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the flip side of that is like it is what the Dodgers and the Mets or the Yankees? I don't know. I don't follow.
They're playing the Yankees.
Yeah, so that'd be the counter argument, right?
To me, it happened in the NBA. In the NFL, like there's nothing to prove. They have meetings. They come out and say, we blew this call, we blew that call. Like, I think people are just looking for stuff because their team sucks sometimes. Yeah. And there is bad calls. They're still human beings making calls. But they could also call holding on every play.
Definitely. Shifting back over to the media thing, I think... So like our podcast mainstream, I would say some are and some aren't, you know, I think it's cast by cast, but certainly some of them are huge. I mean, there's massive podcasts now that are owned by huge networks, right? I mean, and a lot of them have transferred over to be, you know, radio or like YouTube shows or TV. So I think certainly they're part of like, mainstream media is such a nebulous term. It's like, at what level is it considered mainstream? You know, if it's big or if it's controlled by someone who traditionally has controlled a lot of media. So I don't really know what they were talking about there. I mean, it seems like it'd really be podcast by podcast, but certainly some of them would fall under that umbrella. Don't you guys think?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's a poor, cheap excuse people use. Well, that's what the mainstream media wants you to know, or this or that. It's like, well, you're on social media. You could post the facts, my man.
Go viral.
Read it.
Yeah.
Like, not you. I'm just saying these people are like, well, you don't know. It's like, all right, so you watch some YouTube video, like, all right, post it. I'll watch it. I've watched a flat earther stuff. I think they're fucking stupid, but I'll watch it.
Hawk 2 is an industry plant, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting too when you think about like the idea of the Overton window. It's like that guy who is basically
I don't know what that is.
It's like it's pretty cool. It's basically like the landscape of topics that are okay to talk about. And the idea with the Overton window is like, oh yeah, you can talk about you could talk about sex, but you can't talk about incest, for instance. But so the idea of the Overton window, he was like this the guy who ran one of the first political think tanks in the US. And what they were saying is essentially that politicians are not actually leaders. They're followers on a longer time horizon of the popular public sentiment. And so their idea was if you can shift the Overton window of what's acceptable and accepted by society to talk about, i.e. legalizing weed, then over time you shift policy in response to that. And so, that was kind of the idea there is like what can be talked about and what can be talked about on sort of like more fringe media versus mainstream media. And then how does that dictate politics? And so, I mean, is there some like widespread, you know, canon of acceptable topics amongst mainstream media? Sure. And I think that, you know, media has gotten more political over time. I would say it was more objective in the days of Walter Cronkite, and now it's more charged, like Matt was saying, with emotion, typically negative or positive, but also that you want to reinforce a worldview. But that worldview could be anything. And there's left media, there's right-leaning media, and almost nobody is going to be devoid of a political intent. I mean, maybe these days, like you could argue NPR or The Guardian, but even that, or the BBC, but it's like, you know, there's still like Ted was saying with the referees, like they're still people too, and they're going to have their own bias, even in the way you word something. So you're never going to get away from that. But
okay. So like the BBC to me is a prime example and NPR, right? Like I love Frontline. Frontline, I think, does a great job of showing you both views. But now NPR gets attacked. This country, people would never allow the BBCs. They'd be like, state TV. It's like, oh, okay. I'm just at the point of like, where the fuck do you want to get your info then? Like, where? Because you don't trust CNN because they're too Democratic. I get it. You might not trust Fox. They're too Republican. Okay, we'll have a state-run one. Well, no, that's just going to be whoever's in charge.
Propaganda. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'd say ultimately, I think, people want something that agrees with their current worldview.
Yeah. And I think people have a lot of what ifs. Well, like, unfortunately, we live in a world where we need some answers or solutions. Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's it's that like, classic media tactic. I'm sorry to interrupt you. The classic media tactic is like asking the question rather than giving the answer. You know what I mean? It's like,
I don't think that's the media tactic. I think it's the
Ted last night.
I disagree. I think it's the backlash on people being like, I don't trust mainstream media. I don't trust this. I'm just like, all right, what is your solution? It's like the homeless problem. You think I like it's not good in Seattle. I am all ears. Now, we have tried mass incarceration of them. That didn't work. We could go back to mental facilities for a lot of them. Remember, we changed that. And then, yeah. So I'm just, it's like, look, I'm all ears. So like if nobody trusts any information, then you're going to allow my opinion. Then you allow really bad stuff to happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were saying the same thing on that point, which is like people will use posing the question as a takedown of the authority when in reality it doesn't necessarily do that. Like being like, well, like, you know, why didn't MSNBC cover September 11th or whatever it is? And it's like, that doesn't necessarily mean George Soros was like, you know, behind something crazy. So it's like, instead of proposing a solution, like you're saying that they should do, it's like asking the question just undermines the credibility. That's kind of honestly, you see that tactic a lot with Joe Rogan, but yeah, I think that there's a lot of questions, like you were saying, and not a lot of answers of like, okay, so who do you trust for media? You know? And at least in my experience, typically people who are feeling strongly will hit you with like a really fringe website. Yes, christianhealth.com, and you're just like, the fuck out of here, dude. Sorry, Matt.
Started with like Rogers just drives you up a wall. Like, first of all, you played shitty that game, your team lost again, and to open up with, why, tell them to stop listening to you guys. Like, okay, dude, but you still did your TV hit on ESPN.
Right. Right. Well, and like,
what show was he on for that? you're talking about?
He goes
about?
On McAfee every Tuesday.
Biggest show, yeah.
Well, right?
and wait, he was on McAfee saying, "I stop listening to you guys."
No, he said that after the game. They said, "What are your thoughts?" And he opened up with, well, first of all, I tell him to stop listening to you guys, the regular reporters, the mainstream media. But then he goes on McAfee every Tuesday and sits there and bullshits and talks. So it's like, okay, well, hey, man, if media is that bad and mainstream, ESPN's pretty mainstream, stop doing it.
Yeah, they're owned by Disney, aren't they?
Yes.
Yep. If I remember correctly.
And I listen to a lot of various Seahawks reporters, Mike Dugar from The Athletic, the Hawk blogger.
I love that dude.
Yeah, like, but none of those are like the machine to me, but they're still going to be critical. If Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback, they'd be like, what the hell are we paying this guy this much money for? And why do we buy Robert, whatever, Saleh? Like, that's not the mainstream. And like you said, he has a Tuesday appointment on the biggest sports show on the planet. Like, these local bloggers are just trying to get some hits and feed their family and like provide honest, objective reporting more so than I think the mainstream media that he's more of a part of.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, like, I'll defend sports media to the end of the day because it's like, let's not forget, these sports weren't that massive, right? Like, college football, the only reason we have a real national champion and this and that is because the sports reporters finally were like, all right, this is getting ridiculous, man. We got to do this and that. And listen, Jordan had problems. Jordan was at casinos in Atlantic City during the finals of the Eastern Conference, right? But back in the day, the reporters were with the team. You traveled with the team all the time, right? Like Jen Mueller, she travels with the team, right? She's going to have to be a little more careful of her critiques than the other reporters. But people love using social medias, especially athletes. Like, okay. But also, there's a bigger access now. And sometimes the reporters have to ask questions, right? Like, to me, a lot of it is just corporate America, right? It's just, well, that's what corporate said. Corporate said this, right? So nobody answers questions. They just pass the buck and the excuse on to somebody else, right? And then the same thing, I think, happens with athletes sometimes. It's like, well, the reporters have to talk about the game. And, you know, like, you can get mad at the reporter, but also, hey, you f***ed up that play. Like, I don't think the reporter is wrong in saying, what was going through your mind when you just were chirping the crowd, Bears guy, and not, right, and not paying attention? Or, hey, you blew that coverage. Like, what, you know what I mean? Because, like, fans want to know, what did you see? Like, if you blew it, say, hey, man, I blew it, right? Play action, I bit on it. People can understand that. But sometimes with, like, a DB or somebody, you're just like, man, you got kind of, you know, you got full bat on that one. Like, tell us what happened. It's like, I don't have to answer to you. You're the media. Like, all right. Now, I'm also on the side of there's too much access. I don't need a camera in every goddamn huddle when a team's getting fired up, man. That's their huddle. Let them have some alone time, right? Yeah. And you don't need to be in the locker room, but I mean, again, I am 100% biased. I work for the mainstream media, but it just seems like a catch-all, throwaway little bitch excuse to me. Just like, well, mainstream media says it. Like, all right.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, isn't some massive percentage of the NFL's revenue from media? Like, it's got to be like 40 to 60%, right? From like coverage, basically.
Yeah.
So like one, that's paying their paycheck to, you know, it's like it's paying your paycheck if you're talking about it. Ted, I feel like you'd be the perfect person to answer this. I mean, you've been in radio for what, like 20 something years plus?
Yeah, Seattle, it's like 24 years.
Yeah. Well, so like you've seen firsthand, you've worked for large companies. Like, have you ever had a meeting where they're like, hey, do say this or don't say this on the air, as far as not like cuss words and stuff, but I mean about like opinions.
Towards the fans?
No, I meant you know, political opinions, talking about city issues, stuff like that.
100%. Right. On the men's room, we make a point not to talk too much politics, because frankly, you can find that anywhere, up and down the aisle. But I have voiced my support for certain things. And then the other side of that argument comes in and spends money. And, you know, you get told, don't say that again. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, I barely bring up his name on this podcast because I'll tell you what you can't say is Trump. You say anything about Trump and our text line explodes.
Positively, right? Or negatively?
Yes. Just the point. They just a lot of they can't let it go. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for years, I did a very good, I thought, Barack Obama. And I would make Barack Obama. I would goof on Barack all the time. You can't goof on Trump. You can't acknowledge anything about it. You can't say it. People go nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. So just very polarizing figure.
Correct. So I'm just like, all right. I mean, the most popular tweet I've ever had was when that first like week or two when the chop was going on. I just tweeted like, I just was up there. I live here. Like, there's not shootings in the street or whatever. And just, I had to turn off the comments. It got so much traction. And like, people were just looking because I hashtag chop and were just jumping in my mentions, this and that. I'll give you another prime example. Years ago on Facebook, I think that was after the whatever election it was, I simply put, now the election's over, can we get back to all the pictures of your dogs and kids? And I mean, again, comment section lit up. F*** you. God forbid you learn some facts. You know, you're just, you know, fat piece of shit on the right. It's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. What did I even say?
Well, that's just crazy. I mean, the internet, man, it's like, I don't know how people have so much time, you know.
But it's also, I guess, getting back to the original point, to me, that is me. I mean, it's literally called social media. So, yeah. Like, people, you know, there's plenty of people on social media that have a S-ton more followers than even our corporate accounts do, right? Like KSW or whatever. And they sit there and rag on the mainstream media. And it's like, brother, you got 500,000 people following you. How are you not mainstream?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you were right earlier that maybe people mean like that there's some sort of corporate apparatus behind it, or maybe they're saying that the views are corrupted by advertising dollars. I'm not really sure, because I mean, at this point too, there's so much gray area. It's like many YouTubers and Twitter people and stuff are making a pretty good living from advertisers. So it's like, you know, yeah, all on kind of on a spectrum.
Just to make another point, like, look, I would much prefer to work for smaller owned stations and this and that. And that was the Democrats, Bill Clinton, that passed deregulation. And we end up with these, you know, they're not monopolies. Well, there's only four of them.
Right? Yeah. Like,
it's a quadopoly.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, yeah, I think a lot of this goes to a deeper conversation that most people do not want to have. It's like, is capitalism the best?
Well, yeah, great question. And we're at like such a late stage capitalism. I mean, it seems impossible. I mean, it seems inevitable rather that all the wealth ends up in the hands of fewer and fewer people. I mean, that's like the end result, you know, the unavoidable end result, basically.
Right.
I mean, well, money compounds, you know, that's just math.
It is. Like,
what do they think's going to happen?
Well, and one thing, I mean, there's been instances, I don't have any specific examples off the top of my head, but of like influencers on social media losing brand deals because of what they said. And it's like, that's what so many people on conventional media platforms have dealt with over the years. It's like, it's all about the money at the end of the day. And if you say some stuff and people stop giving you money for being a public figure with your form of media, it sucks.
Yeah. And it works the other way too. Like, I would say the biggest conservative radio person of all time was Rush Limbaugh, right? I'll never forget Rush Limbaugh. He was like me. He was a radio guy in Pittsburgh. His show wasn't doing super hot. He went super conservative and found a niche, and then started getting syndicated all across the country and this and that. So, I mean, some of that, it's like, yeah, okay. But, you know, and I think there's plenty of upper echelons of people with a ton of money and not, I wouldn't say people that own these media companies, but people on these media companies who joke around and won't tell you any of their political views, which is fine. but they will do shows on it. You know, like I won't talk politics, but I won't go on the air either and blatantly lie and go, you should vote for this person or you should back this just because somebody's paying me to say it. That, you know what I mean? Like, to me, that's a line.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And, yeah, actually nothing to add. I'm with you.
I mean, like, Fox News is pretty famous for being conservative and Christian, right?
Yep.
Not big on the gays, right? I know plenty of people that have been on morning shows on Fox. You know who runs, who the directors are, who does all everything behind the scenes? Gay people. Right? So, like, Fox doesn't care that much.
Yeah, that is weird that it's, like, only, like, a higher level agenda of... What's that guy's name? He's like about to die. Who owns Fox? The Australian guy, Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch. Yeah.
Apparently, like, his kids are in some crazy blood feud over trying to get the inheritance right now. But yeah, it's like he cares only as far as like influencing mass society. But it's like, yeah, I want those outfits looking glamorous. I want that lighting perfect.
He also, it's easy to sit here and say he owns Fox, but he also makes a ton of money off of porn. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes these networks, for the people that have them, they're just doing it to make the most money.
Yeah, like, I would say almost always. I mean, with the exception of when it's like a political apparatus to a much larger thing, like Jeff Bezos buying the Washington Post.
Right. And the Washington Post, for the first time ever, didn't endorse a candidate because Bezos doesn't want to lose money.
Same with LA Times.
Yeah. I would say it's kind of like that old joke, but I'm dead serious. I don't know why, but if I'm in federal prison, I won't become a racist, but I got to join the racist white guys so I can survive. And I think those people see it as like, I might not believe it all, but I got to do it to make money.
Yeah. I have heard that about, I don't know how much I can say. A friend of mine is close friends with a national anchor who talks politics and is on the conservative side, and in, you know, they go to dinner parties and stuff, and in regular everyday life, this person is very liberal, but plays very conservative and pretty aggressive conservative on TV. So yeah, I think you're not wrong. I think money corrupts a lot of things. And, you know, if you want to get into the wider issue, that's really the main problem in politics. You have regulatory capture, you have the revolving door between, you know, private and public sector, and money has corrupted all of it. You think about the amount of money put into the voting system, you know, the vote into political campaigns and stuff. Other countries set aside a budget, and that's what you get, and it's funded by the state, and it is what it is. And this, we don't even talk really deeply about policy issues. I mean, it's mostly, you know, likability is the number one reason people get elected president. I think that's a real shame. And, you know, part of it has to do with which industries spend, or sorry, how much is spent on a campaign and which industries spent it. And those industries get, you know, I mean, I hesitate to use the word kickbacks because that's not really what it is, but certainly favorable regulation. And if that's not a corrupt system, I don't know what is. I mean, you talked about Bill Clinton, and obviously energy deregulation caused a lot of issues with Enron, financial market deregulation. You know, he did a lot of great things too. I liked him as a president, but
yeah,
you know, he has to bend on one knee and kiss the ring of the people who have all the money and who have all the power. And that only gives them more money and more power and corrupts the system and, you know, causes a lot of issues for the other side of that coin, which is labor, which is all of us. So something to think about.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I know people that have worked down here. I know people that have given six figures to both sides. Like,
yeah.
And they don't care about the red or the blue. They care about the green. Right. And they all have a bunch of employees that they could be giving that money back to for sure. And it just reminds me, like, it's they'll talk openly about their views on things or whatever. And I hear both sides all the time. But at the end of the day, like, they're kind of just focused on living the good life and making money. And I think there's things that are more important than money. You got to get money at a certain level to chill and enjoy life. But like, I'm not solving aggressively to get in that tax bracket, but I've seen that the people that have done that, they it's not about the politics at a certain point. They're like, yeah, you know, I like my money and I like my green fairways. And that's what it's all about. I think there's a lesson in there.
Yeah. And I mean, look, you know, I think, you know, like Cobb was saying earlier, like if you come from money, it's going to be easier, right? Like just some startup costs and stuff, like things you don't have to think about, right? Hell, even buying a home. A lot of people are going to have a parent cosign, right? And nepotism exists in everything, you know? Like, I'm just like, yeah. And like some of the, like it happens, you know? Like, you know, take a fireman. How many firemen probably had a dad that was a fireman, right? Or this or that, right? And that's not as much nepotism. You got to pass the score and everything. But I'm just like, yeah, it happens. So sometimes people come from money. It's a little bit easier and have these crazy ideas. You don't, you know, you're not worried about what you're going to do next as soon as you're done with school or college, right? Or if you're going to be able to afford rent. You just have to worry about coming up with a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. One more hot point. Just because it bugged me. And I'm not one of those people.
The Aaron Rodgers thing bugged you?
Well, the Aaron Rodgers thing bugged me. And then we have talked about Kill Tony on this podcast, right? I've watched it a bunch of times. Think it's awesome.
I actually ran face first into him the other night after dinner. Like ran into his chest.
His chest? I thought I would figure.
No, he's a little shorter than me. But like,
how's he say?
I don't know how much you can say. Basically, just when you come out of this restaurant, there's like a big curtain you go through, and then there's a person. We just kind of like, you know, like bumped into each other, and then I didn't even recognize him, but my friend pointed him out, and I was like, oh yeah, damn. So anyway, I know who you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. So like, he made that Puerto Rico joke at the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden, right? And let's be honest, if you watch the clip, like the joke bombed.
He was bombing tough.
Yeah, right? And I, at the end of the day, Kill Tony is a bunch of professional comedians. I shouldn't say at the end of the day. A big part of that show is watching these fresh comedians try, these open micers, and they rip on them, right? So he bombed tough. I don't think his stand-up's that great. He's great at the roast stuff, but then I'm just like, wait a minute. Is he just kind of a smart-ass asshole?
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
I think there's some people out there who would agree with you.
Yeah, it just kind of bummed me out. As I'm like, look, if you want to go to a Trump rally, that's your business. But just like, you can't do a roast act at a political rally. Like, it's just different. Right?
Yeah.
And then people were like, well, George Lopez made a joke. And I'm like, George Lopez is ethic. He can make that joke, right? Thrill could say a lot of black jokes. He could say them to me. I'm not going to repeat them. I'm not going to say them on this podcast. I'm not black.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. It's like your family. I can rip on cousin Tom or my brother Chris all day long. But if somebody I don't know says something, I'd be like, oh, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Easy, fella.
Right? I don't know. I just, that one, I guess we all agree on that one. I'm just like, damn it, man. I think this kind of ruined that podcast for me.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I've never found that show that funny for me for whatever reason, but some of the comedians they have on there, I really like and respect.
Yeah. I love Cam Patterson. And you know, that format works well for who he is. I couldn't believe when I saw that. I was like, he's on stage at this MSG route? Like, who thought of this? And then I watched part of it, because I saw that clip, and he was, you know, to the credit of, you know, Trump's supporters, they weren't laughing at that stuff. They were like really giving him a hard time. He was getting booed. He wasn't getting laughs. And yeah, when I watched that, I was like, this is just, he's just bombing. And like, I like it better when he's being an asshole to someone who's bombing. Like, he's pretty funny at that, but it was just pure cringe the whole time.
Have you seen the Anthony Jeselnik thing going around?
No, yeah. But I love Anthony Jeselnik.
Nailed it.
Right. And he is a very, like, goes over lines, this and that, but he, to summarize, and I hope to do it justice, he just basically was like, there's a lot of comedians right now where it's like the goal is to get in trouble as opposed to like in a comedy club. And look, the comedy club in my mind is still the last bastion of say what you want, this and that. But you also have to know your audience and know your crowd, right, and what you're dealing with. But I also agree with Jeselnik, where he was like, it seems like they just want to get in trouble. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, just offending people to me is not that funny. Everybody's got a friend or two that says jokes all the time. And then when you go, hey, man, like that's just rude or mean. Well, it's just a joke. It's just a joke. It's like, well, you shouldn't have to keep saying that if it's a good, you know, it's if it's a funny real joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think that plays a little bit towards on the same strengths as what Matt was saying, which is that, like, you know, the news media now is intentionally very polarizing. Typically makes people angry or sad. You know, emotions get clicks and drive revenue. And so with a comedian, especially if they're just starting out, you know, it pays to be more inflammatory. And you don't see a lot of like Dimitri, oh, what was that guy? Was it Dimitri Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Mitch Hedberg type comics right now. It's like, you know, people are going for TikTok shorts and stuff like that. So it makes sense with the times, I would say.
Too yeah, bad, but though. even Hedberg and Carlin, though, like they railed against a lot of stuff and but like there was stuff to back up what they were saying, and they weren't saying it just to like be like, oh, I'm edgy, I'm gonna get in trouble.
Right.
Well, Carlin and some of his early stuff, I would say was like the words you don't say, but he had a great act with it. It wasn't just like just saying something. Yeah,
That was Jeselnik's point, is that like, yeah, comedy should make you uncomfortable sometimes. And he's like, is the room having fun? Like, is your audience part of it? As opposed to just being like, I'm just going to say something bad. I just personally, as somebody who literally gets paid to talk and make jokes, I also just find, and I'm guilty of it, but like appearance jokes, race jokes, nationality, like I just feel like they're low hanging fruit and just not that funny.
You know, it makes me think of a line from The Sopranos when he's like, remember, when is the lowest form of conversation? And it's like, those are the lowest form of jokes, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the quote was, I think it was Andy Warhol that Jeselnik quoted, was, good art is getting away with it. And I just love that. And yeah, a lot of these comics aren't getting, Shane Gillis is great at getting away with it. Jeselnik is great at getting away with it. Like they're really just that funny. And yeah, not everyone that's as popular these days is that great at getting away with it. And I'm not gonna, but yeah, including Tony Hinchcliffe for sure.
Like, and I have laughed at so much of his stuff, and then after this weekend, and then he went on a defense and was like, people don't understand comedy, these people. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe you're just good at roasting and picking on people.
Yeah.
And I imagine not having solid solo stand-up is going to hurt the other, you know, being able to roast people, right? Going forward.
Well, and listen, I kind of hate that it's your town because I love that town. But those guys are in an Austin bubble. For as much as they talk about, you know, these people are in bubbles. Like, look. Dude. I want to go to the comedy mothership, but like they're in a bubble, like physically.
100%. Literally today at the gym,
you ran into them.
I love that you brought this up. Literally today at the gym, I saw a person who had like a his shirt was dope. It was like a, you know, burnt orange shirt with Texas, and then it just had a little tiny circle, and it said the bubble. And I was like, hell yeah, brother, we are in a bubble. And so literally, that guy was like thinking we're in a bubble. And as I was, like 5 minutes before that, I was walking through the gym. I was like, God, the women are just so gorgeous here. I'm like, the men are gorgeous here. And then I saw the little, like, the bubble, and I was like, yep, you got it, brother.
All right, before we take a break, I will also say on the other side, I read about this story and I looked at the pictures. Awesome costume. But it's like this dude in his 20s, right? Ripped, right? And he went to like a bar and like a party dressed as the naked Sim from the Sims game, right? And he just had like a piece of cardboard that was like pixelated, and it was just crazy. It's like some people on the internet were giving him a hard time, and it's like, well, listen, Yeah, you could be jealous of his body, but like, that's a good costume. You don't actually see anything vulgar. Like, I think that's the other side too, because it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble for this one, but it's like, just because somebody is better looking, like, you can't just hate them and go like, oh, put a shirt on. The guy's half naked. Now, hang on. Chubby, you know, I'm one of those guys. I don't mind being shirtless, right? It's like, yeah, that's powerful. Is it? But like, you can't, right? Like, we can't hate on this guy just because he spent so much time in the gym and works on his physique.
Yeah.
Or diet,
yeah.
Whatever.
I agree. I mean, I think it's weird that people are prude about people being naked or showing nudity at all, to be honest. I mean, and it's weird to me that it's like typically very like the Christian right. And you're like, look, like, I mean, did God create abs and a penis or not? You know, it's just like, I don't know. It's always weird to me that they want to be the most clothed and covered in the eyes of God. And I'm like, I don't know. Seems like a little bit hypocritical, but whatever. You know, did Adam and Eve have freaking jeans on? I doubt it very much.
I would say it's like the Ozempic stuff. We haven't talked about this yet, but like now there's like super famous, like that Jillian Michaels woman. It's like, wow, but it's not helping their mental part because they didn't work hard for it. When they were like, hang on now. Thought the whole point of Biggest Loser and all your shows was they needed to lose weight to be healthier. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, sure. If you lose a bunch of weight by working out, and you want to say Ozempic people are cheating, I'll listen to your argument. But like at the end of the day, people are struggling. Like, all right, so they took Ozempic and it worked. We're going to hate on them for that now?
Ted, at the end of the day, they're only cheating themselves. No, actually, I do think the GLP-1s, right? Yeah. I do think that there is going to be some issues resulting from those. However, like in the moment, it feels like a health panacea, and I'm not surprised people are excited about it. And hopefully that starts people get, you know, getting the ball rolling on losing weight and stuff. I do think there's going to be some massive consequences and side effects that we haven't seen yet. Just longitudinally, it's too new. But I think that's crazy. I think anything that gets people moving in the right direction is good for this country.
Now there is a joke about somebody's body I'm very guilty of. As Maryland was getting fucking blown out again this weekend, our coach's last name is Loxley. I don't know if he's on Ozempic or whatever, but he lost a bunch of weight. And I was like, skinny Lox sucks. Right. Obviously, good for him, but I just wish he was better at coaching football.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, got that one done.
I mean, I feel like the other thing we had on our list this week was politics. And I'm like, how can we even possibly?
It's all the same shit, man.
Yeah.
And trust me, I'm no one to say anything. I'm drinking a White Claw with a Zinner in. Right? Like, just much as part of the problem as anybody else. Like,
real American male, Ted Smith.
That's it. Yeah. I will say this personally. Like, I don't know. Like, I saw one of the famous right-wing women, I forget which one it was, and she was like, Saturday, Sunday was just too much of a bro fest. And I always go back to this, I'm like, some bros are hurting bros. Like, I still count myself as a bro, an older bro, but yeah. I've had this conversation with different, you know, women, people of color, and they're like, I just hate the term bro. And I'm like, yeah, but like, me and my buddies are bros. We're not like assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I thought you were going to say that, you know, there was too much of a bro fest, and you were like, yeah, I wish we could just go back to when women couldn't vote. And I was like, God, I'm with you there, Ted. Let's read some emails. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
All right, let's take a break there. We'll come back with these emails, bro. Welcome back, and thanks to all our sponsors. Also, I say shout out to our buddy at Pacific Northwest Pours and Tours, or Tours and Pours. Sorry, Ian, I'm screwing it up. But yeah, he drove us around for the Hullabaloo, and then we might have him drive us around for the party this Saturday at Black Raven from 4 to 8 for the Ola Days party. We got a winter porter, boys.
Ooh,
nice. Pacific Northwest Tours and Pours.
Yeah. Yeah, Ian's a good dude, military guy. So yeah, and it's awesome. It's a great bus. You hop on, they drive you to like breweries and like the wineries. Remember, we had them on the podcast.
Yep.
So. All right.
Nice.
Sweet, 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 sweet emails. I just always say thanks to our sponsors. I was like, actually, we could thank somebody that's been on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody who's actually out there doing the work.
Right.
What screams, I'm single? Been listening for a little over a year, and this is my first email. After a couple months, I decided to listen to every podcast you guys made that's been uploaded chronologically. Hell yeah, dude. Thank you. I've listened to all 264 episodes available and want to let you know to keep up the good work. What screams, I'm single? When you walk into a bachelor pad, things are organized, but not necessarily clean. Oh my God, dude, this, I have a story for this. Example, when my brother broke up with his college girlfriend, he came to live with me for a year. In his room, there was a mattress on the floor, in one corner, clean clothes, in the other corner, dirty clothes, the other corner, stacks of books, the final corner, music gear. Similarly, in my bachelordom, no matter how filthy the place got, I could tell you exactly where things were. Can opener, top shelf behind the silverware. Pliers, bottom shelf, right side of the oven. When you share a place, things tend to migrate. Now, if you ask for something specific, I got to get up as it could be multiple places. To tie it up and bring it back to the last podcast, my wife has spent the last week with her parents in LA. I've gotten rid of all the crap neither one of us uses, organized all the things we use with regularity, and cleaned the entire place from floor to ceiling. Tomorrow, I fully... Jesus. Well... Good luck, Matt. Tomorrow, I fully intend on banging her brains out right after I give her a double shot of vodka to welcome her home. LARP on, gents. Matt the Machinist.
Nice.
Jesus. Banging the brains out of your wife does not scream I'm single, but everything else, definitely. Nice.
The bachelor's handbag with the chicken. It's just been hilarious.
That's still getting you? Nice, dude.
I've been using it in a lot of places.
Dude, that and the other term I picked up when I lived in Australia is like there's just one insult that there's no coming back from. And I've told my story about it when the woman walked by, but calling any woman over 30 an old bag just crushes them. Like there is no coming back, dude. She's done. Any Karen gets in your face, I'll come off it, you old bag. Done. She'll be thinking about that for years.
Last week,
honestly, the devastation is generational.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say last week. I don't know if I told you guys on the cast or not, but I didn't think about it. But like single guy move, bought one Dungeness crab. As soon as we finished the podcast, I heated her up in the oven, got out some apple cider vinegar and Old Bay, and then got to cracking.
Nice, dude. That's my. My wife said, so one of there's a guy in our building who's from Maryland, obviously loves Old Bay. My wife said to his face that she hates Old Bay, and it just explosion. I don't even know if she's ever had it. But it was, the reaction was visceral.
Like I'm fighting the urge to text her right now.
All caps. Nice.
All the land. What screams I'm single? Sorry. Go ahead.
All the land.
Oh,
that was a wild transition out of me. There was no subject on this one. What screams, I'm single? Furniture made from things that are not furniture. Stacked milk crates, cinder blocks and boards. The giant cable spool as a table. Dude, I didn't realize how single I was till I'm reading these. The TV and stereo costing more than everything else in the apartment combined, though this is less common nowadays with the cost of electronics coming way down. No clothes baskets. Cheers, August.
Those are all good ones, but I still feel like the bachelor's handbag or just like the organized fridge of like beers and soda waters. Like I'm 43, right? Like I have real furniture and stuff, but it's like some of those just never leave.
Yeah. That's honestly the first guy like described my apartment to a T. My, we have a two bedroom. My wife lives on one half and I live on the other. And my half really is like stuff organized into corners and like, it's tidy, but it's not clean, you know? And then, yeah, that I'm like, dude, furniture not made from things furniture. Like for years, I had a bed that was made out of pallets.
I'll tell you what I miss. I lived at the barracks before this, which we've talked about for the longtime listeners. But for those not, like, this is a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment with three other dudes, and so four single dudes living in the same place. It was absolute chaos, and I was the cleanest one of the four, and so I looked amazing to my girlfriend, who wasn't my girlfriend the first time she came over. It looked like I was the organized one, and now that we live together, she sees who I really am, which, like, without that perspective of three other slobs around, can't catch a break out here, boys.
Gotcha, bitch.
Make sure I run the dishwasher every night.
All right. I want to tone down that attitude, honey. You're in Scottsdale.
Do you remember the barracks?
Oh, man. Yeah. I like a little contrast therapy. And the barracks also. So I lived there at one point, too. I think over the years, 12 different men lived there, like of our friend, of our extended friend group. Yeah. So, yeah, the place was amazing. 20 going on 45. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Catching up as it's been a hectic fortnight with work and now just taking a lazy Sunday. Two eps of the pod and F1 practice at COTA to catch up on. First in a while without Danny Ricciardo. It just won't feel the same. What catches up with you that you're probably not looking after is your hearing. More of a late teens than early 20s, but close enough. When I was young, loud stereos were the thing down here. Ridiculous subwoofers and high wattage speakers in small cars, riding around with your mates. Camped out in Macca's parking lot. That's McDonald's for those of you not from Australia. Parking lots at 2 a.m. Ah, those were the days. However, I'm now 45, and I'm sure it had an effect on my hearing. Tinnitus late at night is a real thing that I look back on and wonder, if I was not listening to music at crazy volumes, it might not be a problem now. Then he put in a photo of the mighty 1990 Hyundai Excel. Unreal. Protect your ears, kids. On to the next step. Cheers, Aaron from Melbourne.
My phone does this thing when I turn up the music. It says, raise volume above safe listening levels. And I'm just like, motherfucker, we are way past that point. I need these just to hear.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
It's the truth. I'm like, I rode in many a car that was blaring music. Now I see it. I just don't understand why you need it that loud. Dude, yeah. I'm the weirdo at work because people are like, how do you even hear your headphones? Everybody else like blares them.
Dude, Castle with the speakers. Oh my gosh. Like, I've walked in when he's in there and it's just fully cranked every time.
Screaming single. Hey guys, this way there's a guarantee to get one email this week, so I'll send in my first. I'm not single currently, but I notice when those around become single, there's an increase in social media posts, whether that be on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, etc. Especially if that person has been MIA for a while, and now that they are single, they just start posting like crazy. Now, it could be that they're trying to get out there again and see what the dating pool is like, or potentially trying to cope with the breakup and have daily connections as they somewhat have a void in their life now. Anyway, go cheeseheads, Austin.
They also just, you have that time. Like, I get annoyed with myself if I'm watching a show and it goes to commercial and I start surfing my phone. Because then the show will come back on and I'm like, oh, damn it, I missed something. But I feel like if you're sitting there with a partner, you're more apt to just stay involved in the show and maybe chat about it as opposed to like, sometimes I think single people just post because they can.
Yeah.
I think one, Instagram is a bit of a peacocking advertising / dating app, at least in Austin. So I think part of it is they're putting out the vibe, letting people know that they're out there having fun. They have a cool lifestyle that some potential suitor should join. And then the other part, of course, that, you know, no one wants to admit to is, they want their ex to see that they're fine without them. Am I the only one?
Yeah. Look, and it's 100%.
Cool. Here's me on a boat. I'm doing fine. Right. You don't see me crying. Oh, right. Here's me popping a bottle of champagne over a woman in a bikini. You don't know that she's my cousin.
I also, as much as I know that's part of it, I also still like it. I see my friends doing awesome shit. I'm like, that's dope. Giving that a like. You know what I mean? Just like, good for them.
Hell yeah, brother. You didn't need her anyway.
I was all over Matt's story the other day. It was just like something I already liked. And then it was just whatever the hockey team is.
Firebirds?
Firebirds. The Firebirds. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, we're liking that. We're liking that.
The birds.
Right? Yeah, that was a fun night.
Look like it.
All right. Hold on. That one's really long. Give me just a second. Yeah,
see, this is still a podcast. We have awkward pauses.
Routines.
Things happen.
Not on mass media podcasts, they don't.
Yeah, well, I don't have a guy over here either to be like, hey, look that up.
Jamie.
I just had to look, Jamie. I just had to look up the score of the baseball game.
All by yourself? Damn, dude. In the trenches. Nice. Ted Smith getting it done. Routine.
Coming from a guy that, of course, loves his Xfinity cable and talks into his remote all the time, just like Fox Sports 1.
Hey, guys. Shout out to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I had a question for you guys. I'm trying to become more productive when I'm off work, such as gym and getting things done. I was wondering what you guys do personally that has helped.
More productive when you're off work?
Yeah, when he's off from work, such as like going to the gym and getting things done.
Yeah, just in general. That's a good question, man. I'm just thinking of all the stuff I don't get done. With my time, I make it to the gym because that's just something I go to the gym to listen to music and, you know, just like have that time. Like, it's just a sacred thing, but it's like just as tied to listening to body count as it is like, and I just go because I'm like, I just need to go listen to loud music and just, I know I'll feel good, but it's like I talk myself into it because Body Count has 3 new singles out right now. Like, that's been what gets me to the gym. My biggest gym stretches were when I first got into metal, and then like 2 Hatebreed albums, 3 Lamb of God albums. I can remember which gym I was at when the first Slipknot album with Jay Weinberg. Some of those were tied to breakups too. I got really lucky with the timing on that, but like, yeah, man, the gym's a great place to listen to music. And then I would say today I drove to the grocery store far away because there was a podcast I wanted to listen to. Like, it's literally just the entertainment that I'm putting on the way to these places or at these places is a big driving factor. I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but that's the truth with me.
Dude, I'm with you. Sometimes getting stuff done is just a matter of, like, for me, it's like, A, think about the reward, right? Like, God, I feel like driving up the Shoreline after work. It's like, well, we could get a couple flats of soda water at Costco, or we could go to QFC every other goddamn day and get another 8-pack. It's like, let's just get it out of the way and go to the Costco and get it done. Like, so, like, I don't know. Sometimes just what I do, like, just if I got to do stuff after work, I just kind of go, all right, we got to go do it. Just,
yeah, like, I'll see Tim Dillon post a new podcast. I'm like, I'm going to do laundry. Like, folding laundry, I'll do it on Sundays with football, or I'll do it if there's a new podcast. Like, it's literally all about distracting yourself with other cool stuff and linking it up for me.
Yeah.
I can only say what I've done, which is I have like a short checklist on my wall in the morning when I wake up, you know, stretching, brushing your teeth, whatever. Same thing right before I go to bed, but I'm pretty type A. I would say getting a Pomodoro timer helps a lot because you just set it for, you know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and just bang stuff out. And then the number one thing I did this year was getting the app Things 3. It's just a really, really good to-do list app. You don't pay for it monthly. You just pay for it once. And it's pretty incredible. I read the book Building a Second Brain. That was really helpful. And that, and honestly, trying to really limit social media. I think the less time your brain can just default to easy sources of dopamine and serotonin, the more focus and willpower you will have left over to get stuff done. But I don't think getting stuff done should be the end goal. I think it's about getting important things done, but not getting things done just because they're urgent or they're on your to-do list. A lot of those things can just be erased.
We really should have directed that right at Cobb, Ted.
Yeah. I was like, think about the reward. You'll feel great.
Self-awareness here.
Matt's people. What people can't see is when Matt said he folds laundry on Sunday. I pointed at him. I'm with you. Like a lot of time, laundry gets done like on Tuesday night. I hang up my shirts, and Thursday night football, we fold.
Boys, look at this. I literally have a Kanban timer right here, and if you look in the corner, I have a light box that tracks every day that I haven't used social media, and a Kanban board against the wall for doing tasks with my wife. I'm out of control. That's it, boys. No more emails. Yeah.
I know. I can see Matt smiling too. Like, yeah, it was just a cop. Why don't you go ahead and take this one?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a hot chick at the Target.
Yeah.
I could chat her up for a couple minutes, you know?
Oh, ghost
because they're animals. Huh? What separates you from beasts? Okay.
Opposable thumbs.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Right. I got you. All right. Let's check in with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening,
hey, guys.
What's good? What's mattening?
Whoa.
Check out what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening,
hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Check out with what's mattening.
All right. Yeah.
People stuck around this long.
As Ted mentioned, Friday night, went to my first Firebirds game of the season. My girlfriend and I and Carson the lawyer and his girlfriend all went, and they were playing the Ontario Reign, who is the Kings affiliate, which, you know, we always talk about them. I have no qualm, like there's not an ounce of, torn emotion there for me. I'm not conflicted one bit. It's all Firebirds, and if the Kings play the Kraken, it's all about the Kings. I don't care. I love Coach Dan. I love Joey. I love Ty Cartier. I love Shane Wright tight, but like I'm rooting for the Kings. I don't care. But it is fun watching the Firebirds in the Reign and how much I hate the Reign, like because they're an hour away. So they are our rivals. Geographically, we played them in the playoffs last year. And it was a lot of fun. It was the Dia de los Muertos theme night, so they gave away scarves. Check this out. Right here. Just for the boys. Sorry, listeners, but this is the scarf that they gave out. Pretty tight. Nice.
It's one of the good all-weather scarves, too.
Yeah. They had an awesome Dia de los Muertos Firebirds logo that they made. I'll tweet a picture of this out. Follow at the podcast on X, but I still call them tweets.
Me Fuego had, like, his face painted or something.
Yeah, Fuego had a full-on Dia de los Muertos mask. You didn't see that on my story? I said Dio del Fuego. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They kind of changed some things in the arena. I thought it was hilarious. We're walking in and they changed the metal detectors. They had these kind of futuristic ones last year, and then this was like kind of the standard 20 years ago airport one that you have to walk through. And Carson just starts grilling the lady that's working there about why'd you change this? And she's like, I don't know, man. Like, I just work here. You know, and he's like, is it because of the lawyers? I'm like, he didn't tell her that he's a lawyer. But yeah, he was giving it to her a little bit. It was so funny.
When I went to F1, they had the new ones that they're using in a lot of places. And it's unbelievable because they're just like, nope, just walk in. Walk in.
Yeah, that's what they had the first two seasons. Like, I can't believe they went backwards with it.
Right. It's just smarter. It knows what your keys are or this or that. It's looking, I forget, somebody told me, but it's specifically like it finds blades and guns.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had to empty our pockets, put them in the tray, go through. It's the whole thing. Carson's like, must be the lawyers. Like, God damn it, Carson. She doesn't even know you are a lawyer. But yeah, that was fun. They have some new food options, and it was a little bit different, but you know, once the game starts, it was just a lot of fun. Firebirds, I think they were up 3-0 after the first, so it was very exciting, and we won comfortably, and yeah, just had a great night there. Ate a bunch of food, and yeah, had a great time. They really went all out. Like, the warm-up jerseys had that logo on it. They had special video intros and everything. Like, it felt very major league level production for the theme night, with how much they changed everything to do it. So that was great. The other funny moment was the World Series was on, and so there's like a slow moment in the game, just kind of going through the neutral zone with the puck, and the crowd just goes wild, and we're like, what's everyone cheering for? And then half the people in the stadium stood up with their Dodgers jerseys on, and they were all watching that grand slam on their phone. One lady rips off her Firebirds jersey and has a Dodgers shirt underneath it. So,
first ever walk-off grand slam in World Series history.
Yeah, amazing. And so, yeah, it was a fun night. People were super stoked because the Firebirds won. We got free scarves, and then the Dodgers won. So, yeah, good vibes all around. I do have to say, there was one guy had the scarf on who decided to wear to the Dia de los Muertos theme night a hat that said U.S. Border Patrol on it. I was just like, what are we doing, guy? Here, of all places, of all nights. So that cracked me up.
I hope it's his job.
Yeah. It didn't look like he just got off shift down there, but yeah, I don't know where he got it. But yeah, I had to laugh and point it out to Tyler. And then Saturday, I had been invited by a couple of my clients to go see ZZ Top. They were playing at a casino down the road from us. And we went and got sushi first at a really nice sushi joint that we hadn't been to before. Had some spicy tuna tostadas as an appetizer. Some great rolls. Really cool spot. So we'll definitely go back there. But good sushi with, you know, fun people. It was a great time. And then went to the show. Like I said, it was at the casino. So we were there a little bit early, got some blackjack in. And the guy in the couple that invited us, like, I've talked to him about gambling. He was just in Monaco. He was just in Vegas. And he has a roulette system. We didn't play roulette together, but he, you know, we played some blackjack together before the show. And it was just fun, you know. He was betting a little bit more than me, but, you know, I was playing at table minimum.
Yeah. I'm impressed you could actually go play blackjack on Saturday night.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, what do I do here? I'm asking him for it, and, like, he was a little drunk by that point. The dealer's like, the book says stay, or the book says... So the dealer was just telling me what to do, but we had a great dealer. That makes or breaks the blackjack. I didn't win anything before the show.
Kyle, you play blackjack?
I'll play occasionally, like, for an hour or so when I'm in Vegas, but I wouldn't say, like, you know, too seriously.
All right. I just shoot the dice.
Oh, shoot the dice?
Yeah. Either dice or now I'm old, I'll play some bubble craps. But yeah, I don't know. Blackjack seems too intense.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to shoot the dice. That seems too intense for me. Yeah. I want to learn, though.
I don't know craps.
Didn't we watch craps? You watched the mayor shoot some at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, I watch. I don't necessarily understand it. More of a fan. I would say, if anything, roulette guy, all on black, but I pick my moments.
Yeah, those were like $50 minimums. I looked at that table, was like, nope. I'll stand over here on the side and just watch people.
Yeah, roulette's fun. But at sushi, he was talking about how what you do affects the whole table with blackjack based on your position at the table. And I'm like, I'm sitting down with him. He's betting 5 times what I am. And I'm just like, what should I do here, man? I don't want to blow up your spot, you know, and felt the pressure. Look,
that's exactly why I don't play it, because it's just, that's how intense it is, right? People, I get it. They're like, dude, you took my card or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But ZZ Top killed it. That was super fun. Nice. They still got it. For sure, Billy Gibbons is just an absolute legend, and they put on a great show. We had awesome seats, second row. It was definitely an older crowd, but it was fun to watch. It's just fun watching older people let loose and just have a blast. It was great people watching, and yeah, we had a really good time at the show. ZZ Top, just, you know, Billy Gibbons has a lot of desert ties. He's recorded at a studio in Palm Springs that Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses owns. And Matt Sorum was like, we could see him on the stage, side stage, just dressed as Jack Skellington with his daughter and stuff. And he's like, Matt Sorum's over there from Guns N' Roses. So fun show.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we played more blackjack. I got back up to even. And then I went to roulette and started betting Firebirds numbers of the guys that scored the night before. And I walked out of there $40 richer. So,
hey, walked out ahead.
Second row tickets, sushi dinner, and walk out $40 richer. It was a great night. Yeah,
did you watch the Seahawks on Sunday?
Yeah, that's the highlight of Sunday was those chicken pot pies, which were... Those are for Sunday night football, by the way. Max came over, and they were delicious. It was his first time having chicken pot pies. Tyler made her buffalo chicken dip again, which is just maybe my favorite dip of hers. That is so good. And so, yeah, ate well on Sunday, did some laundry, folded some laundry, and, yeah, capped off an awesome weekend and managed to – get some positives on a Sunday where the Seahawks, that was just so brutal.
Yeah.
That was too painful to discuss.
I think it's simple. I told somebody, they were like, oh, we're kind of beating ourselves. Like, no, no, no. There was a lot of bad penalties, but that's not a, we beat ourselves. Like, no, no, no. We got absolutely dismantled in every aspect of the game, except shout out to Michael Dixon. Dicko mode, as I call him. He was a beast.
What did he average? 62? 62 and a half? Something like that? Yeah.
I know he had more yards than our offense.
Wow.
That's a real stat.
It's true.
All right. I think it's about that time. Doop, doop,
doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Off topic.
God, that's brutal. Yeah. All right, we were sort of talking about, you know, the idea of like social media earlier and what the difference is between mass media and, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, personal media, whatever the kind of dichotomy is there. But basically, if video killed the radio star, what did the internet kill? If video killed the radio star, what did the internet kill? Feel free to send us an email at thepodcast.com. I.e. like what was amazing and is now gone. Now the one that pops in my mind always is magazines. I feel like growing up, I would read like cool magazines about cars or about business or whatever. And you know, all that stuff kind of moved online and then moved into forums and stuff. So, what do you boys got?
I mean, that's a good one. It did definitely kill print media, but for me personally, it killed bullshitting.
Oh yeah. Like, dude, like, totally.
People now are just like, no, man, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And they just look it up.
And they can prove it, which it sucks. It's just nauseating.
And besides just bullshitting, like also sometimes, like if I'm sitting with a few friends watching sports and we're trying to think of a name, I'll be like, don't look it up. Like,
yeah.
I know it.
Yeah. Like, let me have this.
Right. Yeah. Like I want to come up with it in my own head and be like, actually, it's this.
It's yeah. Uga. Okay. It's Uga. Yeah. And they're on number right? 9.
That kills fun facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really does. And yeah, it just like kind of ends debates so quickly.
Yeah, maybe that's what I should say. Not BSing, but like debating. Or just, I don't know, like when you're watching college football and somebody's like what is, you know, what's the Tiger's name at, you know, at LSU? Like we can look it up, but when somebody is just like, well, it's Mike the Tiger. You're like, how do you know that? Like, generally, they're going to have a story with it or just be like, or sometimes, I mean, I have fun facts. I just go, I just looked that one up. Like, I just had to know. But it is, I don't know. For somebody like me, I'm just like, nowadays, it's like, well, we could just look it up. Like, we could sit here and argue for half an hour rip a beer and make a $5 bet on it.
Yeah, exactly. It was sort of a fire starter for a good conversation. And also, so much of it, now that I look back in retrospect, came down to like who was more confident, even if they were confidently wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, no, bro, trust me. My grandma's old neighbor had this DVD, man. And it's, you know what I mean? Just like somebody always had like a reason why they knew. That was fun.
Yeah. That's a great point. When you said it killed bullshitting, I was also thinking of like the amount of times that people try to show me something on their phone. And it's like, yeah, that's one of the weakest social moves that I encounter on a regular basis, where I'm just like,
oh, status move.
And I'll tell people about something I read on my phone or a meme that I saw. Like, you can describe things you saw online. It's fine. But like, just being that, I'm like, damn, dude, it's just a rough look. And it happens with everyone. So I'm not singling anyone out, but Tyler and I are pretty good about keeping those little debates going of like, no, don't look it up. We're not looking it up. Like, that's our default, is to not look it up. It's more notable when one of us says, you know what, just look it up. And so I like that about our relationship a lot. The thing that popped in my mind, and I could kind of broaden it, the one word answer was Blockbuster. Like, going to Blockbuster and just roaming the aisles was so much fun. But that same thing kind of applies to like record stores, or even just the electronics department of Fred Meyer with all the CDs and movies, of just like, I could kill an hour just looking at it and thinking about, you know, and walk out of there with nothing plenty of times. Like, Blockbuster, you always get a rental, but like, I just want to, you know, I remember my mom when we moved to Washington, she'd go to Fred Meyer to grocery shop, and I'd just go look at CDs and not even buy any. It was just,
dude. Remember how they had all the posters, band posters?
Posters, too? Yeah, dude. Shout out Spencer's Gifts.
So I was going to say Spencer's, man. You're right. So if you're at the mall, like at some point, like you got to like find a reason to sneak off and go look at those posters.
Yeah.
You looking at those posters? I'm not looking at the posters.
Boys,
I mean, Sam Goody had some posters. Yeah. There was a Jenny McCarthy one and a Carmen Electra one that I will never forget.
At one point, I got the absolute privilege of sitting down and chatting with the guy who started Spencer's Gifts.
What?
He was a Float Seattle member, and which is a place I used to work for people who don't know. And dude, just picking that guy's brain, like, wow, that place was so calculated and so good at what they did. Like, it was amazing. I feel like it answered every question I had. But like, that place is a true work of art. So you're right to have enjoyed it. Like, he put a lot of time, effort, energy, and thought into what was in that, every square inch of that place.
We still got one right down the street at the mall. It's awesome. I still go there just to look. I very rarely I've bought maybe three things from Spencer's in my life, but it is a throwback, fun place to just wander and look.
Would you get like a lava lamp, a candle that smells like farts, and what else?
Some hat or something with weed leaf on it or something like
and
that.
And a Simpsons t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, you didn't have the internet, so you didn't have porn. Like, I would just go look at like R&B singers.
Yeah.
And like, right, like, oh, I just want to go look at the album for Little Kim.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's a rapper, technically.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, like the Carmen somebody referenced, I think maybe it was Carson, referenced like the Spank Bank. The internet killed the Spank Bank.
Yeah, man.
Sure did. It eviscerated it with high streaming audio, visual, 4K, 1080p surround sound. I mean, yeah.
Just real quick, this might be an age difference, but like, out of Little Kim, Foxy Brown, and Trina, like, what camp were you boys in?
Trina. When Lil' Kim was the first person I saw wear just a pasty, and it was only on one boob. I don't know if it was the VMAs or what.
Yeah, it was a purple dress, and one boob was out. Yeah,
yeah, with the pasty. That's another one. Like I said,
and you can be a historian of a lot of things, but it does not shock me that you're like an R&B women's nudity historian.
Foxy Brown had her moments, but Cobb is correct. Right
up there with the J-Lo dress.
Exactly. Yeah.
Trina had bangers too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lil' Kim for sure for me, though, because of that. That's that's just forever etched in my mind, and I'm very grateful for that.
But also,
they'll never understand.
Let this be a lesson. If you've made it to the end of this podcast, sure, we talked intellectual, real stuff, but it still ends. I mean, it's still a bro podcast.
We're bros.
At the end of the day, I'm still Googling how's Trina looking now. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Tells you everything you need to know.
You know what? This is the ultimate bro bubble.
We are the ultimate bro bubble. Brocast. Let's get it.
We should change it. Brocast. What do they say? It's like it's a lot of stuff, dude. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, yeah. Dude, somebody asked me tonight. We went to like this pumpkin weird thing with my wife and her friend, and she's like, "So, what's the podcast about?" She's like, this Latina woman. I was just like, I'm not really sure. She's like, "Should I listen to it?" I was like, "You probably should not."
Shakira. Right. Stop. We don't need to talk about Latino women. Again, whatever. Don't forget to go out and vote. Don't forget to fill out your whole damn ballot too, man. There's a lot of important stuff. Even yes. I'm guilty of talking about presidential elections, but you know, your state senators, state legislations, I can't even think of the word right now, but the propositions and everything else, like just read for it. And if you're Washington State, listen to my voice. Like the pamphlet's very informational. I got it sitting right here. We're about halfway done.
Yep. Yeah. Same for California.
All right. Good one, boys. Hey, for MCTP, for Kyle, I'm the Ted Smith. This is, or the podcast. I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.